You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the last edition of the Irish Racing Podcast in 2017. I'm Andy Holding, taking a look at a 7-race programme at Punchestown this afternoon, due to be run on soft to heavy in places ground conditions. Obviously, we've had lots of useful horses over the Leopardstown period, so it's a little bit more of a quieter afternoon, one we could say, with regards quality. But we still have competitive action throughout the card at the County Kildare venue, and we begin by taking a look at the opener at 12:35, which is a beginner's chase, where Monbeg Notorious sets what I think is a fairly high standard, and hopefully with a clear round he should be good enough to capture his first race over fences at the third time of asking. His two previous runs over the larger obstacles have yielded two placed performances behind Dunikos, who of course went on to win a graded race at Limerick over the Christmas period, and Moulin Avant last time out was his conqueror, but of course that horse ran with, I thought, quite a deal of credit in the Grade 1 at Leopardstown the other day. Apart from a couple of bad mistakes on the way around, I think Narmi's charge would have gone a lot closer than his finishing position suggested. But that run by Gordon Elliott's charge certainly suggested he's up to a standard, certainly worthy of taking a beginner's chase of this nature at this track. And with the likes of Augustine and Sumneck, his main market rivals, I'd still expect Monbeg and Notorious to come through here with flying colours, with that experience under his belt. On to the 105 then, the first of the competitive handicaps, and this is a handicap chase over the extended 2 miles. We've got Show and Go in this race, of course, carrying top weight from an informed stable, Henry de Bromhead, who won this race 12 months ago, so he's definitely got to come onto the shortlist. But I'm prepared to take a chance here on Thirsty Work from the Jessica Harrington stable. Now, this horse has been plying his trade in some very decent novice chases so far today, up against the likes of Tombstone, Petit Mouchoir and Avenue d'Unvrien. He was in the process, I thought, of running quite a good race the other day at Leopardstown when he was unsighted going down to the second last, that Notorious second last, and unfortunately he tipped up. But he was well backed in the market, and given how well he was going at the time, I think he would have definitely justified his position in the market. And if he would have stood on his feet, that would have been a fair level of form. Obviously, he's got Surrogate Lad to deal with here from the informed Tony Martin stable. But at the prices this morning, around about 5-1, I'm going to take a chance that his confidence hasn't been too badly dented, and Thirsty Work can get back on the winning trail there in the 105. On to the 140 then, and the eagerly awaited reappearance of Kill All to Vic is the highlight here, having his first run since being off the track for 714 days. Of course, when he won the Grade 2 at or Grade 2 Novices Chase at Leopardstown back in 2016. Obviously, he's had one or two issues since. And you do take it on trust that he's going to be fit enough to do himself justice after that long period off the track. Whereas Expatriate doesn't have that lurking over his head here, obviously coming back off a victory the other day down in Limerick. Well, I thought he was quite impressive, actually. I do like the way he travelled through that race, and he only had to be shaken up to go clear of what was a half a decent field. He's such a reliable character, this fella. He hardly ever runs a bad race. You only got to look at his performances in Grade 1 races last year against the likes of Defi Desoy and obviously Project Brew Book to say that he's one of the best juveniles we've seen in the last few months or so. And even though there's a little bit of a lurking or nagging doubt that these juveniles, four-year-olds, don't go on in the next season, I think this horse bucks the trend because he's quite a big, stocky, sizeable unit, and I think he's got the physical presence to cope with the older horses throughout the remainder of this season, certainly as he's proven so far to date. So Expatriate, the prices this morning anyway, rather generous, looking 4-1. Definitely think he's the each way value there in the 140. On to the 210 then, and this is quite an informative juvenile hurdle. We've seen some fair juveniles over there in the Irish Sea, and one of them, of course, come from the Willie Mullins stable in the shape of a horse called Stormy Island, and Massasa runs in the same colours here this afternoon. and there's a good chance that this ex-Gillian McCary mate will follow in the same hoof prints as his filly, the filly that won Fairy House a few weeks ago. However, I did quite like the profile of Lezarku here from the in-form Henry de Bromhead star. But this horse had two very impressive victories back-to-back towards the back end of the last flat season. And one of them came one of them came at Fairy House, similar track to this, of course, this afternoon, when he was hugely impressive that day, winning very easily. Obviously goes from the Johnny Murta stable now to Henry de Bromhead. And Giggenstown could do with a decent juvenile in their midst. They had several last season, and they've had several in previous seasons, such as Denaria de Zabo and, of course, Apple's Jade. And as of yet, they haven't really set the world alight in this department. So hopefully this gelding by Arcano can fly the flag for the maroon and white colours in the next few months. On to the 2:40 then, and quite a competitive handicap here. Messrs. Elliott and Mullins have got the front two in the market in the shape of Synopsis and Steel Wave. And being as though both have performed to a fairly high standard over this course so far, they've got to be respected. But I do like the claims here, particularly at the prices anyway, from an each-way perspective. The top weight here, Fryne Rightly, who comes here off the back of a multitude of decent placed efforts, most notably last time out in a very competitive handicap, a Grade B handicap, at Navan, won in the end by Diamond Kushwar, who looks a very well-handicapped horse off a mark of 128. But there's so many good and informed rivals in behind that I do think Shane Crawford's charge has probably performed to one of his highest levels in the last few years. And given that, albeit he's only £2 higher from that last performance, I do think he's got a decent chance here of going very well. The triple suit him. Ground's in his favour. He's got a good cruising speed, and it's hard to see him not running well here, Fryne Rightly, given his overall profile. So I'm going to take the top weight here to at least finish in the frame there in the 2:40. On to the 3:15 then. Quite a competitive handicap chase. Competitive handicap hurdle. And the one I quite like here is Christy Roach's She's Made It. Now, I'm taking a little bit of a chance on this filly because she's, if you like, very, very difficult to assess in many respects. But she has run in a couple of maiden hurdles at, on the speed figures to suggest that she's actually run quite to a decent standard, even though finishing down the field. That run behind True Self at Thurles back in November, there's been plenty of horses out of that race that have gone on to run well since. And even though she failed to cut my charge last time out, the form of that race at Navan has worked out well. And basically, I've watched the video back and she was just basically hunted around the back, never put in the race, just given plenty of time to sort of like condition herself. And hopefully today could well be the day for a mark of 85. I say she's very difficult to weigh up. She could easily go either way, but there is sufficient market confidence behind her this morning to suggest that today might be the day for Christy Roach's four-year-old. So She's Made It, a tentative vote there in the 3:15. On to the final race then, and once again we've got a Willie Mullins trained individual in the shape of If You Catch Me Now as trading as the market leader. And, of course, coming from these connections and having won a point-to-point last time out in pretty impressive fashion, she commands the utmost respect. But at the same time, I do quite like the overall profile of Best of Dubai. And I do think Gordon Elliott's mare is the each-way call this morning, round about 5-1. Don't forget this horse was fourth in a listed bumper behind the very much impressive and improving Cracker Dancer at Navan. Two starts ago. And of course we know that Cracker Dancer went on to lower the colours of several useful horses in a maiden hurdle at Limerick the other day, so the form of that race has been boosted. Nothing wrong with its run the other day, once again just bumped into a nice horse in the shape of Kildare from the Ted Wall stable, but she was well clear of the rest of herself in second, and surely she'll be good enough to finish in the frame at the very least here this afternoon. And as I said, she rates the each way call there in the final race on the card. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again later on in the week when we're going to take a look at the action from Dundalk as ever on the flat. So until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.